This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show. And this evening we're coming to you from a castle, Barberstown Castle, just 40 minutes from Dublin. And I'm delighted to be joined by Ted Robinson, the Managing Director. Ted, how are you?
Ed, a very warm welcome to Barberstown Castle. I'm very, very well. Thank you.
It's fabulous. You're actually the nearest castle to Dublin Airport.
Correct, yeah, which is great for all the American tourists that come to Ireland, you know, if they want to have their first night here in a castle or their last day in a castle. We're very lucky to have that. And it's the oldest castle in Ireland. It's 1288, the oldest castle with a castle keep with a roof still on it. And so obviously you can have lunch there today. We would have had Sunday lunch for about 100 people today, which is great.
Yeah, I know, beautiful atmosphere. And I suppose really, of course, you're part of the Blue Book, you're part of the historic hotels. It really has a gorgeous atmosphere here and really unique. Now, the history, it really jumps out at you. Now, listen, before we go into all the details, and we're going to have a really good chat about the history here,
yeah.
Your own career is really interesting, Ted, to talk with yourself. You started working when you were a nipper in this business.
Yeah, so one of my first jobs was my uncle's hotel in Galway, the Ananta Hotel, as a kid, you know, cleaning dishes and so forth in the back kitchen. But then my first real job was in the K Club as a 16-year-old. And then obviously got the real appetite for it because I only live a mile down the road here in Strafford. And then went on to Shannon College and went from there effectively.
Now, I mean, you studied, you worked with, you were in Paris as well. You were under Alain Ducasse, you know, amazing stuff. Really interesting. And I mean, you worked in South Africa.
In Cape Town.
Yeah, you went to really illustrious. These are incredible properties.
Yeah, so a part of Shannon College, you have to go out and get the experience. So obviously I was heavily involved in rugby as a kid, and all my friends were going to Switzerland or Belgium, but there was no rugby there. So I asked, could I go to Paris? And I was able to get a job in Le Parc Hotel in Avenue Raymond Poincaré in the Trocadero region. And Alain Ducasse was the chef, the main restaurant there. So it was 3 Michelin stars, just unbelievable experience. And I was blessed to have it. And I was there for a year. So it was a great experience.
Now, of course, you're a star on and off the field, right? Now, Connacht, very interesting story you were telling me. We were chatting on earlier on, and I had a fantastic Sunday lunch here. The Queen Yorkshire pudding, the roast beef, the whole lot. Worth the trip down, by the way, for that alone.
I had some in the kitchen myself, Ed, while you were out front.
Yeah, delicious. But you were telling me, you were quite tenacious. I mean, you were very ambitious, but you never gave up with the rugby career.
Yeah, so obviously I was in Shannon College, and then my fourth-year placement, I got a job offered in the Dorchester Hotel, and they were delighted for me, and I kind of sadly turned it down because I knew there was a chance when rugby was playing for Buccaneers at the time. So in long story short, I went to work in the Great Southern Hotel, and I got a summer Colts contract with Connacht for the summer. But at the end of the summer, they said, Ted, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, and you're not fast enough. There's no more contract for you, and thank you, but all the best. So I spoke to my dad and I said, no, I'm going to just keep sticking at it. So I'd work the breakfast shift in the Great Southern, go training with the Connacht senior team, not getting paid for it, just kept, you know, tackling practice and so forth. And then go working at night, back at night. Anyway, long story short, I Steph Nell picked me for the Glasgow game in the quarterfinal of the Celtic League, the very first year of it. But I was still working in the Great Southern. So I was working the night before, and I served the Glasgow team, Gordon Nicol, Andy Nicol and Gordon Bullock, the night before the team. And the next day I scored a try, got man of the match. And Steph Nell, a month later in January, offered me the full-time contract. So to any young kid out there, never, ever give up. And it was ironic that I served the team and I scored a try against them the next day.
Brilliant, brilliant. That's a great story, Ted. And I mean, you also just, you know, as a matter of fact, you happen to just fly helicopters as well.
It's just, I suppose, when I was a kid, I always had a dream, you know, to be a pilot. And when I became a professional rugby player, you obviously train, you know, between 10 and 11 in the morning, or 10 and half, 11, and then you lunch, and then you train in the afternoon. So I had a bit of time. So did one lesson. It was expensive. So I waited a year, saved up, and then, yeah, went on to do my commercial license in London. So by the time I finished rugby, I had something to back it up as well. So it was great.
Brilliant. Now, you worked here, of course, locally as well. I mean, the Glen Royal Hotel is another place nearby. You worked there for a number of years as well. Barberston here, I suppose, Ted, really, it's the experience that you've brought to here now. I mean, it's won Best Historic Hotel. It has a lot of awards. It's had, some very interesting owners. Now, I really want to talk about that to you. Eric Clapton, right? One of the greatest guitar players of all time. Yeah. He owned Barberston Castle at one stage.
Yeah, he owned it from 1979 to 85. And it was basically a house and a kind of a hotel open to, you know, local guests or people that he knew. So, you know, Phil Collins, the Rolling Stones, there would have been, if the walls could tell a story, you know, there'd be just so much history there. But you can imagine the parties they would have had in the green room downstairs where you would have had lunch earlier on. So we actually have his guitar on the wall here, you know, signed by him, wishing us all the best, Amanda Torrens, Austin and myself, on our new venture here at Barberstown.
Amazing. Now, going back, I suppose, to Nicholas Barber, if I'm right, he was the man who gave his name to the castle here, to the house. There's been a lot of owners, hasn't there, over the years? It'd be interesting just to get an idea of how many.
So, yeah, it's over nearly 800 years old and there's about 45 owners over the years. And you would have seen, you know, all the names in the doors are previous owners and the years they were here. So Nicholas Barber's obviously 1288 and he set it up. So it was a small castle keeps on the edge of the Pale. So it was really to fight and to mind all the cattle and the sheep from, you know, the country folk. And it's basically on the edge of the Pale. So, and then built up over the years and lots of owners and lots of stories over the years.
And I mean, in terms of your input here has been incredible. I mean, there's been a great refurb job done. I mean, now, I mean, in terms of, I think, what have you got, 58 rooms now, is it? I have a lovely room with a 4-poster bed. So it is really that. I mean, if you want to hop down for that really romantic experience, it just jumps, it oozes it here.
Yeah, so 58 rooms and, you know, we hope to add another 3 or 4 this year and then in time just to expand even more. But our goal is to, you know, to get stronger rather than bigger at the moment and to really mind what we have. You know, when Amanda, Austin and myself, we took over about a year and a half ago, there was a team of 20 and it would have been open on a Friday to a Sunday as a wedding venue. So the first thing we did was open 24/7, 7 days a week and everyone welcome. So it's really about building that reputation. And our vision here at Barberstown is to be the friendliest hotel in Ireland. So, and our mission is to be a home away from home. So we just want it to be like that. When you come out of Dublin, as you said, for a 20-minute drive or 25 minutes, it feels like home with the newspapers, the fires, coffee, so relaxed and, you know, without the stuffiness of any other hotel, it's just so relaxed.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one thing that hits you, of course, when you come in today, the hospitality, I mean, the staff, I mean, so friendly, people from Irish people, Croatians, South Africans, you've got a great mix of people here. Yeah. That's something, I suppose, after COVID that you've noticed as well? I mean, because everybody went through a lot of, yeah. You know, it was tough for the hospitality industry, and you hear now about staffing and problems, but you seem to, a lot of the Blue Book properties, in fact, seem to have retained the staff. You told me, the chef is here 25 years.
Yeah, Bertie Malapid is here 25 years. And the food, as you would have had today, is real French cuisine. He's from Biarritz, you know, so it's really, you know, heavy butters, you know, real French cuisine, you know, venison, duck, you know, sirloin of beef and so forth. But ultimately for the team here at Barberstown, it's really about looking after them. And as I always say, you know, when we're doing the interview or the joining the team, once they have a big, warm smile and it's genuine, we can train how to make coffees and Irish coffees and anything else like that. But once they have a warm smile, they'll be fit into the part of the team. And it's about having fun and crack and work hard, play hard, effectively.
Yeah, and I mean, the lunch, I had a lovely lunch here. The duck patty was just, it had the richness, the quality. It was kind of foie gras, you know. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be a huge fan of foie gras, but this was just amazing. But one thing that jumped out at me, the beef, you know, the beautiful dessert. I mean, the Basque influence obviously was there. The wine list was super. We've gorgeous Muscadet as well. But the quality, I mean, you must be sourcing a lot of local food here, is it? Because the quality does jump out at you.
Yeah, so Pat Doyle Meats, you know, local down the road. All the eggs are local, the vegetables and so forth. So, and our goal is to have our own little herb garden and so forth. But it's really about the richness of the food and the sauces, you know, like the apple, the apple dessert takes about 3 days to make because, you know, it's a foam and then it's apple crumble on the inside. And, you know, so it's about taking our time and so forth. And, you know, all the cheeses are all Irish as well. So it's great.
You're listening to The Sunday Show. And my special guest this evening, Ted Robinson, the managing director here in Barberstown Castle.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
106.8. And you're very welcome back to the Sunday Show. Coming to you this evening from the lovely Barberston Castle here. Ted, I have to say, right, that the grounds here are really beautiful. Lovely place to come down for a short break. What is there to do? Straff and I had a little walk in today. Loads, of course, around here. Kildare, of course, lots of tradition and history here in this county.
Yeah, Ed, it's we're blessed. It's in the heartland of the, you know, the Thoroughbred County here in Ireland. And you've the National Stud. You know, we had families here at the weekend, so they stay here for a day, go to the National Stud. And there's a new visitor centre there. It's amazing for kids. And then after that, you could go to Kildare Village. But if there's a small stroll down the road to Castletown House, it's just a beautiful walk down Castletown House. And as you said, Strafford Village. And if you're into golf, there's so many golf courses nearby. You have the K Club, you have Carton House and so forth, you know. So lots to do. And only, as you said, 30 minutes from Dublin City Centre.
Now, I suppose you would obviously specialise with this location and the setting. I suppose this would have been a great place and is for weddings and for events. So that would have been a bit of a challenge as well to sort of get to move away. Because sometimes people perceive places as wedding only, don't they? And then, but here you seem to have everything. You seem to cater for all sort of tastes.
Yeah, Ed, it's like, so, you know, previously it would have been just a lot of weddings at the weekends. But as you said, it's just to open it up to families, kids, weddings. So when you have a wedding here, you could have a wedding for 130 people. But it's in a separate, in the old stables of the hotel and a beautiful conservatory, you know. So there could be a music going on there and you wouldn't even know it. And you're having a fine dining meal in the hotel restaurant. So it's separate, but yet a part of the grounds.
Yeah, no, amazing. Now, the history of the castle, just to go back to it again, I mean, really interesting. Was it a challenge in terms of, you know, when you're renovating, I mean, no listed buildings and stuff. I mean, this is something that's really particular, I suppose, to Ireland. We're so blessed with all our beautiful castles here. And when you're part of the historic hotels as well, I mean, and I said you won an award for Best Historic Hotel. It's difficult to, you know, there's so many rules and regulations, but it's a bit of a challenge, isn't it?
Bit of a challenge, but it's about keeping the character. So it's about reinventing, bringing in the modern technology. So in terms of TVs, coffee machines, you know, till systems, security cameras, but ultimately we keep the character. Richard Millay has been here 25 years. He's a general manager. So he's able to guide us in terms of what we should mend and change and so forth. But ultimately what you see in the castle or the old house, everything is really original. And all we're doing is just fresh bit of paint or fresh carpet or curtains and so forth. So it's really about keeping the character, Ed.
Yeah, and I mean, what's really nice as well is that there's a lot of quirky stuff here. I noticed, for example, beautiful period furniture, beautiful paintings on the walls. It really is almost like you feel like you're in a museum at some stage or an art gallery, Teddy. It's really nice. That also, of course, is part of it here, isn't it? Very unique.
Part of it, and a big grand piano in the garden bar and, you know, a grand piano in the wedding venue. So the wedding venue, the pub part of it is in the old stables, and that's 350 years old. So when guests are having drinks there, it's literally stepping back in time. So it's just blessed. So as I said earlier on, it's about keeping that character. And we're doing up the Barton Room restaurant as we speak. So it'll be ready by St. Patrick's Day. But again, it's about keeping that character. And ultimately going back to our mission, which is to be a home away from home. So the fire is on, cozy, so relaxed that you could just literally stay here for the whole weekend and relax.
Yeah, what's interesting as well is, of course, the one of the best presents you can ever get at Christmas is a Blue Book voucher, right? I mean, everyone loves them. And the value for money here, I was even just to come down for lunch, yeah. I think is a lovely, it's such so quick.
Yeah.
It's a great to be part of that Blue Book, isn't it? I know you, it's by invitation only. So yeah. You just tell us a little bit about how that comes about and how, I mean, I think over nearly 20 years here, you're part of the Blue Book.
Yeah, so Ken Healy, the previous owner, would have been very involved in that. But ultimately, there's over 800 hotels in Ireland, and of that, there's about 50 to 60 that are part of Blue Book. But ultimately, to be part of Blue Book, you have to be a unique property, a unique hotel, and also privately owned, so you're not part of a chain or a group. And obviously, Barberstown is that, and we're delighted to be part of Blue Book. They're just amazing in terms of what they do for us and obviously what we can do to help them. But as you said, lots of people get Christmas presents and Blue Book, so we've a lot of guests, even last weekend, from Sandyford's to Lorgan, Black Rock, that would just, you know, they have the Blue Book, you know what? It's only 20 minutes, 30 minutes down the road. Let's go for a night away. And it's a treat to go away from the kids or so forth and have a nice meal and have a hangover the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the other thing, I mean, yeah, and the you were saying there, and that we chatted a bit about earlier, but the food as well, of course, is a huge part of it, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, because again, the quality of the food, and that was really something I noticed, which was really lovely here. Just for people, we talked about Eric Clapton there earlier, of course, the world famous guitarist. Now, 1979, right, he purchased this property.
Yeah.
And It then became a kind of a guest house. He started it off, and you were telling us that there earlier about other people that came down. But it's had, I mean, I know we said 37 owners, and I mean, 900 years, it's incredible the history here. William Sutton, Lord Kingston, I mean, the Lord Mayor of Dublin at one stage, Hugh Barton, the wine merchant who constructed the nearby K Club.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's lovely for people that come down here, like they really enjoy that, the history of it, I guess.
Yeah, and it's a great, no matter what room you're staying in a room that was a previous owner. So there's a lot of history behind that. And our goal is to bring that history out. So maybe on each door to have a plaque on each door about Eric Clapton or Hugh Barton. And there's a story behind everything, you know what I mean? And our goal here, you know, for myself and the team is to bring on all that history and to bring on that goodness and what Ken Healy and the team brings us to really bring the best out of Barbastown.
How is it in terms of the business now after COVID, Ted? I mean, obviously this property, I mean, and of course the Blue Book is huge in America and the US. I mean, massive, and in Europe now as well. It ticks all the boxes for the Americans' perception, I suppose, of that quintessential Ireland experience, doesn't it?
So we probably have 100 weddings a year, and of that, it could be 25 that are Americans that will come over. And of that 25, there's probably 10 or 12 that have never seen the hotel. They just see the website. They talk to a friend and have a look at it. So when they come, they're just blown away by the history of it. And some of the guests, I try and bring them to the top of the castle to get the amazing views. And so much of it. So we had the Rose of Tralee here in August, and they came back for a reunion ball at Christmas. And one of the roses in the escort, he asked me, oh, Ted, could I propose? And he proposed to Sophie, the Arizona Rose, on top of the castle on New Year's Eve. And thankfully, she said yes. So it was just as well, because I had the champagne ready and I didn't.
Yeah, that was a bit of a relief, all right.
And then
plan B.
And then the marketing team were straight on it. So they had the brochure ready to give the next day.
Fantastic. But it is, I mean, obviously, it is the dream of getting married in a castle. Is it fantastic, isn't it? Have you noticed changes now over the years in terms of, I suppose, now that the world has changed, I suppose there's so many different varieties of stuff, but weddings, it's a challenge. And for that special day, it's a big responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah, especially. And what's happening now, Ed, is that, you know, when I got married to Katie, you know, it was a one day affair, and in terms of, you know, you have your wedding and that's it. But now it's really a 3 day affair in terms of the night beforehand in the castle. You'd have dinner for 40 people with the in-laws and so forth. Then you'd have the wedding for 120, 130 in the banquet hall. And then we have a haggard bar. So you'd have, you know, they'd have a day two with a pig and a spit roast and real casual for about 60, 70. So suddenly, you know, times have changed. It's no longer a one day thing. It's a whole weekend event for our guests. So it's great, you know.
Yeah, no, of course, you're right. I mean, it has become a huge thing now. In terms of, you know, I noticed as well, like I love lots of nooks and crannies, kind of quirky places here that you enjoy as well. Beautiful venues. And of course, you have the little chapel, and locally, I mean, nearby in Strathfin, even lovely church, that church there goes way back as well. Great history there, isn't there?
Great history. You've Lady Chapel down the road as well. Great history, you know, as part of Duke of Leinster, you know, with Carton House. And we have our own little chapel here. So, you know, a lot of people, probably 50% now are civil ceremonies, so get married on site and you get a harmonist to marry, you know. So I was thinking about it last week, Ed, that I might become a harmonist, because I could be known as Father Ted then.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Was it difficult when, I mean,
would you be Dougal or would you be Jack?
I'd be Dougal. You don't believe in God at all, Ted. Yeah. what are you talking about? You're a priest.
Just to all our listeners there, Ed has a bottle of whiskey in front of him.
He does. No, that's tea. That's iced tea, everybody. Yeah. When you decided you wanted to fly a helicopter, right? Was that just what was your thought? Were you going to open up a business?
It's just a passion. It was like
Celtic Tiger stuff.
I got a lesson as a plane lesson when I was 21, and I always knew my goal was to be a helicopter. So I literally went straight across the road and did one lesson in a helicopter. Like I said, it was expensive, so I waited a year, saved up a bit of money, and I work with do part time work with executive helicopters. So basically, on my day off, I'd do a bit of flying. So, you know, little things like Punchestown is coming up on the 25th of April, so we're going to do flights here from Barbastown to Punchestown and back, and it's only 100 euro a head, so it's amazing.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah. I'll put the name down for that now later. That's excellent. I was
and we'll have the kettle on for a cup of tea when you come back.
Yeah, that's
after
great,
winning all your money yet at that point of time.
Yeah, listen, I've won a few bob flutters every now and then, but that's really cool, isn't it? Though that you can do that for that, like, but it's very affordable.
Yeah, because it's a 6 minute flight. You know, it could be 20 minutes by car, but it's a 6 minute flight, and it's really the experience of it. And it's just, you know, have lunch here, go to the races, and then come back and have dinner. And it's a day event and special, effectively, you know. So. Yeah. And we're actually sponsoring a big race at Punchestown. I think it's on the Thursday. So it's nice to be putting money and sport into local community here at Punchestown. So it's great.
Yeah, we had a wonderful guest on recently, Nina Carberry, of course.
Wow.
Now, Nina won Dancing with the Stars. Now, you look like a man that would be good for Dancing with the Stars as well.
I wouldn't have good feet like Nina, yeah.
Brilliant. Of course, Kildare, you know, the home of so many things to do with horses and golf. It really has become synonymous. Massive here now, isn't it?
Yeah, you've the Curragh has just been refurbished. The Curragh, you've Punchestown, you've Naas, and we're delighted to say, you know, we sponsor, you know, in each of those. And it's about you've Goffs, as you said, you've the National Stud, you've Derrenstown Stud, you know, Kildangan Stud. So a lot of people actually come here, you know, go to Goffs or go visit a stud farm, and yet they're so close to the airport and to get away again, you know. So
yeah, no, brilliant. I think that's a great idea. But it's a right little treat for people. And when they're staying, a lot of people would come here, I'd imagine, for like weekends, like domestic, but then like longer stays as well. The Americans, probably 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah, the American would be, yeah, for the weddings, like I said, you know, they would be more 4 or 5 nights, because they're here for, you know, the whole stay, effectively. They'd have 3 nights here and then probably stay 1 or 2 and then go visit Galway or Kerry or the Ring of Kerry and so forth. But we have a lot of domestic, especially on the outer edges of Dublin, because it's so close. You don't have to drive to Galway or Kerry, you know, a long 3 hour drive. You know, you can just 40 minutes, you're here night away, and then you could be back within your, you know, to visit your family by 12 o'clock the next day, effectively. So we're blessed.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to the Sunday Show, coming to you from Barberstown Castle in lovely Kildare with my guest Ted Robinson, the MD here. Ted, as I was saying earlier, and I don't want to repeat myself, I never thought I'd be like hopping on a bus and coming down to a castle for Sunday lunch and 40 minutes from Houston Station. I mean, really, for people that don't want to drive, and of course a lot of people like driving, it's lovely not to have that, though, a bit of hassle-free. And you can come down, as I said, you can have a few drinks and you'll hop back even just for lunch.
Yeah, so as you say, you can get the bus, you can get the train to Maynooth and then a short hop over to us. We also have 4 or 5 bikes there that people, you know, just take for free and go for a cycle down to Strafford Village or down to the Royal or Grand Canal, either way, you know. So we're blessed in that sense. And then there's so much to do locally, but ultimately it's about getting out of the city, having somewhere to stay and relax, and yet you're only a bounce away, you know, 40 minutes, as you said.
Do you find, the challenges after COVID, Ted, for hospitality in particular? I mean, the government was very good with support and stuff. How are things now? Is it a different business now?
So there's definitely a bounce in terms of there would have been a small backlog of weddings, you know, because they would have postponed. So most of that has gone through, Ed. And so now this year ahead, we, you know, more or less 100 weddings to look forward to this year. And we're delighted to welcome all the guests back. And then people... Probably now the big change is that instead of people booking 2-3 years out, they're booking this year or next year, because they've been waiting to get engaged, and there's been a delay on that side of things, you know, because there was so much uncertainty. So, you know, at least there's a bit of comfort in that. But the challenge really is minding the team. And here at Barberstown, it's all about the team. It's really, we all roll our sleeves up. We all look after each other. And my goal is to mind each other like a family. And when you do that, you know, that comes back to you that, you know, we look after each other. So if someone's having a bad day, or if someone's someone needs help at home and so forth, we all support each other. And then we try and have a sports federation, which is like that we go out and do some activities and enjoy the social side of things, you know, that the team can come in and be motivated, and they know each other and look after each other.
That's really interesting. And I mean, one of the beautiful, I suppose, one of the lovely things about a property like this, with, as you were saying earlier, there are 58 rooms. I mean, you get a very, I suppose, personal sort of an intimate service in, I mean, a 5-star service, obviously. But there's challenges, of course, in different bigger hotels and little hotels, but you seem to be getting the balance right. And I think the Blue Book, of course, is part of that, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, so if you're in a bigger hotel, you know, you don't get to connect with the guests as much. So we're blessed here, you know, as I said, 58 rooms. But so on a given weekend, you nearly get to know all your guests by name and you build up a rapport. So it feels like that close family side of things, whereas in the bigger hotels, you probably don't get to do that as much. And then you'd have, we have about 18 acres here around the castle. So you can go for a walk out the front, kids can go play. You know, we have lots of, at Easter, we'd have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. Patrick's Day, we'd have face painting for the kids. You know, we'd have traditional Irish music, all that kind of stuff. So it's about creating events. We have the Bumblebee coming here, which is the car run effectively, you know, for which is in support of Little Blue Heroes. So we've lots coming up. Then we've the Rose of Tralee event coming here in August before they go down to Rose of Tralee.
That's very interesting. So will Dahi be bringing them all in? Yeah, because I've been on the Today Show a few times chatting with Maureen Dahi. But so they go around. Is it they go around Ireland kind of thing?
They go a little tour around Ireland. But you know, part of the we have a great relationship with the Rose of Tralee. It's such an amazing brand for Ireland. You know, people don't realise how important it is, and how much it really advertises how great Ireland is. So yeah, we're blessed that they stay here for two nights. Have a bit of a tour around Kildare or a tour around Ireland, but stay here for two nights and then travel on down to Tralee. And Dahi is he's amazing. And when he's here, just absolutely full of fun, full of joy, and really looks after the team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, he'd love it. He loves his grub as well. He's up here.
Kerry man as well, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
We make sure we have the curtains draped in Kerry. We have a flag here, which is the Irish flag. But when Dahi comes, I take down the Irish flag and I put up the Kerry flag. Now, I'd just like to apologise to Dahi. The Lily Whites are going to win the All-Ireland this year in advance.
I'm sure he'll get over it. That's good. I mean, I must come down. I must bring the microphone down and sneak down for that. The Rosary. That'd be great. That'd cause a great buzz, of course, around the whole area. And Strafford, of course, like tidy towns as well. Everything here, I mean, as I said, I've only been here for a day now. I mean, walking around and seeing everything is spick and span. Beautiful architecture here. Now, you'd see there's a few bob in the county here, Ted, but like gorgeous gardens everywhere, the grounds here. Beautiful, lovely, like birds singing, you know, really relaxed. I thought it was gorgeous down there.
Yeah, we're blessed. We have a full-time gardener as well. So it's one of the things we brought on board to really nurture everything we have. As you said, the Tidy Towns in Strafford just do an amazing job. You know, they win, you know, Tidy Town in Ireland, you know, on numerous occasions. And it's about us being part of the community and looking after them and supporting Strafford GA and so forth. And, you know, that all comes back to each other effectively.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember when Shelley was telling me about, from the Blue Book, was telling me about, you know, when they go over to America, you know, the personal touch, talking to people. I mean, with the new, in terms of marketing now and promoting and everything, how do you find that with the new social media, is everything sort of all gone into a new place? Or I the one thing about the Blue Book, I think they were still telling me they still love to press the flesh and shake the hand, and you probably get involved in those delegations as well.
Yeah, and that's part of it. So for me, as managing director here, and Richard, the general manager, for us, it's about going around to every table and saying hello and welcome them, and so that everybody knows they're genuinely being looked after. And we just love, you know, we're in the hospitality business. It's a vocation, really. And we just love seeing the smiles on people's face and enjoying the food and enjoying the crack. And as you said, with the Blue Book, they're just promoting us. So, you know, especially through social media. So they would promote us, we'd promote them. And basically, when they send guests to us, we make sure we really look after them. And then also encourage them to go to other Blue Book properties around the country. So there's some gems around the country. And we're blessed in Ireland here with hotels. As I said, 800 hotels in Ireland. And there's some stunning, one of the best hotels in Ireland we have here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Dunnan was telling me that what great thing about it was that if his fridge broke down, he could ring one of the lads that was in the Blue, and he could say, where could I get a good fridge? Or it's good for that sort of support, isn't it, and stuff like that. I mean, that's a pretty simplistic example there, but I thought it was a funny thing. So it's like a family, I guess, really, and everyone kind of supports each other, which is lovely.
And also advice, and you know the trends in the weddings and what's new and what's happening and how we can protect each other. And also, ultimately, it's about giving value to the guest and making sure that we're on top of it. And, you know, social media is massive. And it's, for us, it's about, you know, letting people know we're here, you know, because Barbastown would have been kind of really a hidden gem, hidden away in Strafford. But ultimately, it's about telling the world that we're open for business, and you know, everyone's welcome. And we'll genuinely really look after you as best we can when you come here.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. I must say that comes across really handy. And you've 100 people here, is it? 100 people?
Yeah, so we have about 50 full-time team members and about 50 part-time team members. And it's really about building that and looking after each other. And we've lots of brothers and sisters and twins and locals and mother and daughters and so forth. So it's really about building that community here and looking after each other.
Now, when you go yourself, now I know you're finicky. I'd say you're a person with great attention to detail. What for you, right, Ted, would be things that really annoy you if you go into a restaurant or if you go into another hotel? I mean, I know it's tough when you're in the business yourself.
It's weird. Even for me here, you know, I always say to myself, I can forgive anything because mistakes happen. You know, the coffee's not made right, or the cocktail's not made right, or the food is cold or something like that. As long as they smile and there's a warm welcome, you know, the roof could be leaking. But, you know, for me, it's always about genuinely, nothing's a problem. We'll genuinely try and fix it. We'll do our absolute best. And once the customer sees us, that we can do our best for them, they'll know, look, they've pulled out all the stops to look after the guests, because, and there's a genuine warmth behind the smile, you know, of our team and myself and Richard. And that's really about it. So when I go to hotels, it's like a busman's holidays. I genuinely try and relax. And if they're in good form, it's about, like, you always get your haircut off your, you know, your favorite hairdresser, not because they give you the best haircut. It's because you like them and there's a friendly welcome. And that's what I say about the hotel industry. You'll go back to the place for a cup of tea, not because it's the best cup of tea, but because the personality of the barman behind it has a bit of crack and a bit of warmth, which knows your name and so forth. So for me, in other hotels, it's really about that warm smile. That's the big one for me.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, in a way, you can train that, or you can teach that, I guess. You know, it can be part of training as well. But sometimes people, it's just a natural vocation in a way, isn't it, in the hospitality business? Yeah. And it's like a bug, isn't it? You've been involved now since you were young, and it's amazing the way you had rugby. Things can go a lot. There's lots of forks in the road, isn't there?
And rugby was a big education for me in terms of, you know, the team, because ultimately, you know, when you say a rugby team, it's about picking your team, putting them all forward, really communicating who's what, where. So even in the restaurant, you're managing the host, you're going to look after these tables, you're going to look after the pass, and having that discussion and then saying to each other, look, we're going to win today. We're all big smiles. We'll make mistakes. But again, like a rugby match, you could be 10-0 down, but really doesn't matter as long as you win at the end of the game. And for me, it's about really looking after each other. And as I say, you know, we all make mistakes, but it's really about criticizing in private and praising in public. So I have a big thing here that we just keep praising in public, and we get loads of good feedback from the guests. And the minute we get that feedback, we pass it straight to the team. Well done, pat on the back, because it gives them energy. And if there's a mistake or two, not to worry, we can train that. And, you know, the next day we'll train them how to, you know, to lay a table, or, you know, set a table and so forth. But ultimately, it's really about teamwork. And as you said, by osmosis, it's a culture. So it's not something you can just, you know, this is the way we should be. It's, you know, I have to lead by example, and Richard and the team, and suddenly the culture, we look after each other and big smiles. And when anyone new joins a team, that's the way, and that's the goal, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, the fact that, you know, you're a chef here, I mean, when you have someone that's here, stays for 25 years, you know, you must be doing something right. I know you weren't here all that long, but it's lovely to see that, isn't it? Like a family, really, in a way.
Family, passionate. We really look after each other, and, you know, we have young chefs that come in, and we train them and teach them and help them along the way, and always go the extra mile for them, because, you know, when there's a busy function and they need to stay on an extra hour, they'll help us out and help the guests out. So it's great.
Yeah, I was chatting to two lovely ladies up in the garden bar, is it? The garden bar?
Yes, yeah.
And she was telling me that they come down here all the time for lunch, and said it's their secret. It's their secret getaway. And she was asking me what to do, and I said Sunshine Radio, and she was like, oh, don't be telling anyone about this now. We go on, Teddy. But it was gas. Lovely. But they were, you know, they've been coming here for ages and they just love it. It's their little secret escape. But as I said, I'll just down the road. Now, tomorrow you're going to fly me back in the helicopter, are you?
No problem.
That was really unexpected. I can't wait for that. But I'll book that package. Yeah,
I think. Believe it or not, it's 6 minutes from here, because we flew Dahi. Actually, we went over.
Oh, of course, Dahi should only be the helicopter for himself.
6 minutes from here to RTE.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? It's incredible as the crow flies, and you do really feel what I love. You're totally immersed in the countryside here. It's so fabulous.
It reminds me of the Cotswold in the UK. It's just hidden away, and it's just, you know, it's a hidden gem, as we said, but a hidden gem we want to tell the world about, and please come and visit us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Ted Robinson, it's been a pleasure to talk to you this evening. Absolute pleasure. Thanks a million, and thanks for a wonderful visit.
Ed, thank you so much, and I'll have the kettle on for you now.
Dublin's easy place to relax at the weekend.
Sunshine 106.8.